Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 94 of the CU Insight Experience. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Trellance, from data to insight the right way. My name is Randy Smith. I'm one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with the best and the brightest of the credit union community. I get to pick their brains and see if we can't find a few nuggets that we can all learn from. My guest on today's show is Larry Sewell. Larry is the VP of Corporate Partnership and Advocacy at Together Credit Union, and also the new board chair of the African American Credit Union Coalition. There was so much for Larry and I to talk about on this episode. AACUC has a ton going on the past few months, and big plans for the future as well. And we talked about everything going on there, as well as the work Larry and the team at Together Credit Union are doing in St. Louis. Larry came up through the credit union ranks as a trainer and has been helping build leaders his entire career. He now focuses on the credit union's partnerships and advocacy, and you can tell the bringing education and mentoring to that role is something he's been doing as well. I really enjoyed this conversation. I could have honestly talked to Larry for hours. He had some great hacks throughout that I think we will all take something from. As always, we have some fun at the end of the show with the rapid fire questions. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with Larry Sewell. Enjoy. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Oh, me too. Before we went on the air, we were just talking about the fact that haven't seen each other since GAC, and quite honestly, probably haven't seen many people since that time. Interesting world we're living in, and gives us a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Right? So I want to start with just on that. I always feel weird if we don't talk about it, but you know, there's so much going on. As you and I were talking about, like, you know, before we hit record, the hot spots for this virus seem to move around the country at different times. Kids are back in school. We all have a lot of things going on inside and outside of work. Any hacks you have on, you know, keeping the team feeling connected, keeping those groups that you're associated with connected from a distance?
Yes, absolutely. This new reality, Randy, definitely requires more creativity and ingenuity on everyone's part, from corporate leaders to staff members, employees. We've all had to become a bit more creative than we thought we would ever need to become, I am sure. For us, really here at Together Credit Union in St. Louis, is ensuring that our employees are safe, they feel valued, their well-being is intact, health, their children, staying home these days, all those things are really important to people. So yes, we have to do other things to ensure that employees and staff members remain engaged. And some of the things we've done here is I appreciate that the fact that our CEO, Bob McKay, he holds virtual weekly updates to all the staff members for sure, to keep everyone involved, whether it's involving how the organization is doing financially or how he's doing, board updates, things like that, what we're doing in the community. All those types of things that he does in his videos. Also, we have employee-wide, company-wide virtual staff meetings, virtual conversations. And during those meetings, we recognize and reward employees for their hard work, for their creativity and ingenuity. We recognize people for their tenure Together Credit Union. So we still do all of those things. We are focusing more on giving back to the community. We have always done that, but even more so now in these, as we said, difficult times. And we're about to start some listening circles too within the credit union through our corporate affairs and social engagement officer. But yeah, so we're doing all those things, Randy, and more to keep people engaged.
I was going to ask you, Larry, like, I know you work in a lot of different partnerships with the community. So how about outside the credit union, you know, the four walls, as far as like keeping connected with the partners you have in around St. Louis and you know, quite honestly, across the country?
Yes, yes. Before all of this, we were personally connected. We would make visits. Because part of my job, a big part of it is engaging our select employer groups, or we call them SEGs. So as the vice president of corporate partnerships and advocacy, Obviously, a great deal of my time is spent working with our select employer groups. Our first 70 or so years as a credit union, 60 or so years as a credit union, we were primarily a single sponsor credit union. Before we were Together Credit Union, we were Anheuser-Busch Employees Credit Union.
Absolutely.
Yep. That required a great deal of involvement with select employer groups and staying involved with them, like on my part, making personal visits, getting on an airplane, talking with people, visiting people. Now, it looks like those days are about gone. So, as I said before, more creativity to ensure we are engaging our SAGs, and we're doing that more electronically now than anything else. And obviously some telephone calls, but ensuring that they know that we're still here and they are still our members, and our first priority is to continue to serve them to the best our ability. That's a big primary and big goal for us, is to continue to do that.
It has been something for all of us. I know we all look forward to the future when we can travel and meet in person again, but I think the idea that we're going to put this genie back in the bottle is probably not going to happen. It's going to be some kind of, combination of both at some point, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're doing, and it's requiring more collaboration amongst our employees to work together even more so, and to make sure that we're all working towards the same thing. And it doesn't stop planning, it doesn't stop strategy, it doesn't stop execution, it does it in different ways. So that's the big thing.
So I'd like to pivot a little bit here. This summer, you were named the chairman of AACUC, an organization that I absolutely love. Renee was on the podcast before. I've probably told the story multiple times. One of my favorite conference experiences was at one of the conferences down in Charleston, where Jesse Jackson was also speaking, and shared coffee with him one morning. Didn't even know. So it was like, it was an amazing thing. But you've been active on that board now for a few years. When I was kind of doing the homework, you've served on pretty much every committee. It seems like, what are you most proud of that the board and that organization has accomplished? And as chairman, what are your top priorities moving forward?
Thank you for that question. I'm not sure how well I can answer it, but I'll give it a shot. Number one, AACUC is a tremendous organization that has persevered and continues to persevere through many challenging times and situations. And I've been a member of the board of directors since 2016. And as you said, had the opportunity to serve on several committees, from advocacy to mentorship to membership to internship. And those are the key pillars of the organization, actually, Randy, are those things. So for us as a board, and for me now, just being elected as the chair, which I take as a tremendous honor that my fellow board members have enough faith and confidence and trust in me to elect me as the chair of this fine organization. So going forward for us, we know it's going to be this continual journey of making sure that our members, who we are here to serve, know that we are here for them. And particularly, we as African-American leaders in this industry, this credit union industry, I think it's really important for us to be role models as we see and meet other young professionals of color within our industry. Because for me, when I was first introduced to the AACUC, it was a tremendous pleasure and a bit of a surprise to see so many African American leaders in the credit union industry in one spot when I attended my first conference in 2009, which happened to be here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And to see that really motivated me to get involved. And that's all I wanted to do, Randy, at the time, was just get involved, maybe volunteer on a committee, help with a little bit, And fast forward 4 years, here I am sitting as the board chair. So that was definitely not on my radar screen, for sure. Let me tell you, but
I was going to say there have been some pillars, and there currently are, of the credit union industry on that board. Maurice Smith was one of my early podcast guests and one of my absolute favorite. I know he's on the board. And this, I will tell you, coming up in a few weeks after yours, I just reached out to him. I know he's not on the board anymore, but I had the opportunity last year to spend about a 3-hour delay in the Nairobi, Kenya airport with Mr. Bert Hash. And the conversation, just the two of us, we almost missed our plane. And I assumed we would do the podcast in person at some point. And I just reached out to him and I was like, Mr. Hash, we need to do this. You know, like, who knows when we'll travel again. But yeah, so I mean, one of the things that I absolutely love most about the organization is the fact, and you use the word pillars, is the mentorship and internship. So it's bringing others along, right? I think that's just fantastic as a way to create change. And that kind of brings me to my next question. I think Renee would hurt me if I didn't bring this up. So if other credit union leaders want to get involved with the commitment to change that's out there, what are the first steps they should take?
I'm not sure if they are in any kind of order, but whatever credit union leaders may decide to do with this commitment to change. As you know, we've been in this tremendous commitment to change opportunity here this past summer. I could say now we're almost in the fall. And so just be intentional. It can't be something that you feel, well, let's just do this because it's popular now or it's in the news now. It has to be deeper than that. It has to be part of a credit union strategy. So to me, number one, let's be very intentional about getting involved. And it might mean stepping outside of our norms. It might, if I'm looking to recruit or bring people in to work in my credit union, and I want to get a different look or feel to that job or that position or to that department area, then let's look where I don't normally look. There are many, many sharp, young people of color, African-Americans, who are in our outstanding HBCUs across the United States.
Absolutely.
So credit union leaders aren't going to those African-American credit union colleges and universities. Please, please go there. There are some tremendous young people in those fine institutions. And remember, you know, those HBCUs, they were there when we couldn't get into I would call the mainstream schools today. Yep. So there are very talented young people attending HBCUs for sure. So volunteering, getting out. If there are small businesses in your area that may be minority owned, whether it's women or people of color or other ethnicities, get involved. If you like to change your board and how it looks, you know, get involved. Ask those small business leaders to maybe sit in on a board meeting. Maybe not so much these days, but you can still do it virtually. Yeah. For sure. Build a bench strength that's diverse within our credit unions or any company or organization, really. Having a bench strength that's ready to go. And one other thing, Randy, that's really important to me, and that is sometimes when people say or have the opportunity to hire a person outside of who they would normally hire, don't think that you're settling.
Right.
You know, you're not settling.
Yep.
There is tremendous talent. If anything, you're probably going to be improving your organization, and you're not settling because you hire someone who may be a minority. I get really, really firm on that. Yep. And to know that all people can bring value to an organization. So no organization has to settle when it comes to bringing on people of color and women in this day and time at all.
I could not agree with you more. I am so glad you said that too. So, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about disruption that we're seeing going on in financial services overall. This was happening before COVID, but it sure does seem like that pace of change is, let's just say, got even faster, I think, over the past few months. Is there something you think overall credit unions need to just kind of fundamentally do different to stay competitive and relevant, you know, in the future years?
Yes, yes, for sure. For me, and it's just something I've really taken an interest in over the last maybe 5 to 6 years, is that we, credit union leaders, particularly leaders who are in larger credit unions, for example, there are many of our credit unions across the United States, many of our 5,500 or so, I think now, and our 120 million members, is that many of those credit unions are small.
Yep, absolutely.
And we are, have been over these last several years, losing too many of our smaller credit unions. And I know there are merger and acquisition opportunities that occur. And, you know, that's better than a credit union, a smaller credit union having to close, for example, because the credit union may not be able to adhere to all of the regulatory and compliance requirements that have been levied upon financial institutions these days because of things that big banks did back during the recession of 2008, 9, and 10. So if we can slow the progress of losing so many small credit unions and keep those credit unions in those smaller communities where they may be the only financial institution there.
Absolutely.
Or one within some kind of reasonable distance, per se. So I think that's one thing we can, and I know credit unions do that. Hopefully we can do more. I know the AACUC is really focused on helping smaller credit unions continue to survive and operate as best as we can. And we can become mentors to those small credit unions and their leaders as we talk about mentorship and things like that. Good stewards of our time and effort.
I couldn't agree with you more. I, you know, one of the things that I always think back on is like, even when we started CU Insight, we were 11,000 credit unions. You mentioned, you know, 5,500. We're heading into a, what looks like a recession. And I think everybody thinks those numbers are going to shrink. And once you lose the charters, they tend not to come back. Right. So it's a,
Yeah, absolutely.
I am 100% with you on that. Last question in this first section. If we were to sit down a year from now, what are you most proud of that you and the team and the board at AACUC have accomplished in the year to come? If you could break out that, you know, foggy crystal ball for me.
Yeah, that's for sure. That would be a, that would be some kind of crystal ball. We can look out a year from now and be anywhere near closest to what we... But since you posed the question, I think for, and I give you AACUC and then maybe here at Together Credit Union as well. So as the new chair of the board, one of the things, if we can fast forward a year from now, and I'm being a bit reflective, I guess, is that we've started and it is being used and people are attending would be number one, Randy, the DEI Leadership Academy. That we are looking to do. Extremely important initiative that we've started and really looking forward to launching sometime early next year. And this will be for primarily for our credit union leaders to be involved with so they can go back to their own credit unions and implement those types of DEI changes, or maybe not so much changes, but enhancing what they're already doing. So we want to be able to help credit union leaders do that.
You know, I've heard Jill and Renee talk about that a lot, building that out, and I think it's going to be a fantastic program, that's for sure. Total layman, you know, on this, but it reminds me of like creating that type of community, like the foundation has with DE and the development educators, but for DEI practitioners and everybody. I absolutely love the idea. So that'd be a great success if we get that up and running for next year. I would love to see that, too.
That would, yeah. And obviously, we're still in the midst of our commitment to change initiatives.
Absolutely.
So we're still having these great conversations about Credit Unions Unite Against Racism and our Commitment to Change series, our conference last month, that 5-day Commitment to Change series we had during the middle of August. It was a fantastic start for us. We didn't start out planning on having a virtual conference that way. We didn't start the year thinking we'd have to have these commitment to change conversations. But, you know, sometimes society and the world will throw you a sometimes people see a curveball out. Maybe this one was a changeup.
Oh, yeah.
That you still have to keep the bat in your hand and try to hit it. And so what I'm most proud of is that the African American Credit Union Coalition was one of the first, if not the first, credit union organizations to decide to stand up and stand out and start these conversations. And we were probably, Randy, the organization who needed to be out front.
Absolutely.
On this. I sometimes say the organization with probably the least amount of resources show the most initiative in getting out front and having these conversations about what was going on in our society. Even though for me, Randy, if I could take a moment, this isn't new. I grew up in the South. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. So yeah. I have, I would say, fortunately and unfortunately, experienced how racism can just destroy a town, a city, an organization, anything, or our environment, our country, if it's not addressed. And growing up as a kid, there were movie theaters on a Saturday morning I just couldn't go to because my skin is brown. We kids, we weren't allowed in those theaters. You know, I could walk from my house in about 10 minutes. I could be standing at the doorsteps of the 16th Street Baptist Church that was bombed in 1964 and killed four black girls. And so very close to me, that terrible incident happened. So this sickness that racism is a prompt for all of us to do what we can today in particular. So I am really fortunate to be a part of AACC and that we are and will continue to be out front. So one of the things that we'll continue to do is doing that and inviting all people of all backgrounds, of all ethnicities to join in our conversations. So also, we want to ensure that our membership is proud of what we're doing. So that would be another thing. And that all of our partners who work with us, and there are many, and I will name them here a little later, who are helping us with all of this. It's tremendous. We could not do it without them, for sure. And we want to continue our internship and advocacy program. So a year from now, if we were to talk again, and I could say, Randy, here's what we've done in all those areas. And we've given people an update or a report on how they've invested into AACC.
We will link to all the partners and everything in the show notes. And I will tell you, just a personal plug, I wish everybody out there would become a part of the organization. I am such a fan, and I'm motivated by the work that you guys are doing. So if there's anything we can do to help, we are an open door always. Interest of time, I'd like to move on to the second part of the show, the leadership and life hacks. It's kind of what the podcast is all about. To start, what inspired you to take the gig as VP of Corporate Partnership and Advocacy at Together Credit Union?
Just right up front with that question, and it's my CEO, he's to blame for that.
It's Bob's fault.
It's his fault. We were having a conversation several years ago, and he floated the idea by me of having a job or position like that. And of course, I agree. Let's say, yeah, Bob, that's a great idea. I think that position will serve us well into the future. Whenever we want to get started with that, I'll help you any way I can.
So let me ask you, so the position was basically, it sounds like Bob created it with you in mind. It wasn't something that existed before. Now that you've been into it for a few years, has the inspiration changed? Is it doing what you hoped for?
the inspiration has definitely changed. And yes, I'm not sure if he had me in mind, but I did not know he had me in mind. That's for sure. So there are many other talented people in the credit union who could do this job for sure. But somehow it landed in my lap. But as far as the inspiration goes, I'm into my fourth year now, my 25th year with the credit union.
Wow.
I'm really by trade and by vocation. I'm a trainer. I'm an organizer. I'm a mentor coach. So that's what I've been doing for the credit union for the majority of my 25 years here, for sure. But yes, this job has allowed me to maybe get more out front and get more involved with our membership communities, our overall employees. So it has allowed me to grow in that respect, for sure, Randy. So yes, I really appreciate and value the opportunity I have to do something different than what I really did my first 20 years with the credit union.
So let me ask you this. Now I'm excited to ask you this question. Is there something that the folks at Together Credit Union have heard you say so many times they can finish your sentence as one of the leaders?
Yes. It is very important for us to reach consensus on this. Reaching consensus is probably what I would say most of anything else is people know school wants to reach consensus.
That's
probably it for me.
I love that. Is there a common myth that about being a good leader or leadership in general that you would just want to debunk?
For me, is that you have to have a formal title to be a leader. There are so many leaders without titles. There are many more leaders without titles than there are with titles. So if it was something I could debunk, it would be there is no requirement to have a formal title to be a leader.
You know, it's so interesting. We're 90-some episodes into this podcast, and you are the second person now in a row to say the title. And when Shruti said it on the last episode, I was like, 100%, right? You don't know who the people can be leaders in any area of the organization or anywhere in the world, quite honestly. I absolutely love that.
Absolutely.
When you look back to earlier in your career, and you just mentioned for 20 years, you were really doing the training and mentoring. So I can't wait to ask you this question, but what mistakes did you make as a young leader? And what are those mistakes while you're doing this mentoring and training that you see young leaders make over and over?
Well, a laugh probably tells. I wish there was just, you know, one mistake I could highlight. But if you ask for one, I would say for me, it's with delegation. You go through all the schools, the management schools and business schools, and you talk about, you know, the five principles of management and leadership, and delegation is one of those. But for me, the lesson learned for me early on was that even though you may delegate something, Randy, it doesn't mean you're not responsible and still accountable for what you delegate to someone else.
That is such I couldn't agree with you more on that. And it's such, I think it's one of those tough things to learn, right? I've had the conversation on the podcast often where, you know, many people, as they move up in their careers, it's because they've done good work, right? They've kind of been that put your head down, do good work. And then you get to a leadership position and you have to bring others along with you, right? And you're still responsible for the outcome or failures, whatever it happens to be. If you go back to put your training hat back on, do you have a hack? Is there something for that new leader out there that, like, a tip you would give them today to maybe flatten that little bit of a curve a little bit so that they don't have to take the same bumps you and I did?
Yeah. Take the advice of those who've gone through the experience.
Absolutely.
You really don't have to go through it yourself.
Isn't that the truth? Oh,
we could save you some trouble and some heartache, you know, just by listening a little bit. I know it's good to experience some things.
Yeah.
But there are others where, you know what, if you've already done it and this is how you experienced it and you're telling me this is the best way to go about doing something, that might be a good thing to listen to.
Absolutely. We already touched the stove for you. It's hot. You don't have to do it again. Has there been a piece of advice or a life lesson that you received earlier in life that you find yourself going back to over and over in your career?
Yeah. That, for me, it has been the fact that there is always time, I believe, and there is always space to exercise good logic and common sense.
I like that.
When I have to make decisions about things or something, and yeah, it's good to look at the numbers. It's good to look at the data and the history. But a long time ago, I learned there's always room for common sense and good logic. So whenever I can put those two things into play, I do it. So that's what I encourage. You know, the Lord gave us a brain and mind for a reason.
Yeah.
He gave us five senses for a reason.
This sounds like something that would have been maybe instilled from a parent or grandparent or something. Is that the case, or is it?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You can get as much book sense as you want to, yeah. But you've got to be able to use some common sense when the time comes to you.
I love it so much. You know, one of the things I noticed in the first season of the podcast was how important mentors and that like strong network was for people's careers. Is that something I know, obviously you're actively involved with many organizations, but is that something that's been beneficial to you, the mentorship and, you know, the network overall?
Yes. Yes, Randy, for sure. I've had the good fortune during my career as a commissioned officer in the United States Air Force, had many mentors. Now, back then, when I was in the Air Force, that was probably more telling than there was advising.
Yeah.
but as a young lieutenant and captain, and mentors were definitely there. And here's the thing with mentors. I think that I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this way. The mentor doesn't always choose the mentee. Sometimes Absolutely. The mentee chooses the mentor, and the mentor may not even know that he or she is a mentor.
Yep.
Sometimes we just observe people who we appreciate, we like. You mentioned some of the titans in the credit union industry, like Bert Hash, Sheila Montgomery.
Oh, Sheila's
fantastic. And the like, Maurice Smith, all of those fine professionals in our industry. And I could go on with that list of people. For me, they've been excellent role models and mentors. Also, growing up in the credit union industry, people like in my case, like Howard Gandolo, who was one of our vendors who came in to help us back at the time with total quality management when that was a thing, helped me tremendously. And my boss for almost 20 years, Dan Vogler, been tremendous mentors and coaches for me.
You mentioned Sheila Montgomery. Another person who's been on the podcast was Lynette Smith. And
yeah.
I will tell you, one of the things I love about Lynette is that she asks questions a lot, and I love it. I enjoy every conversation I get to have with her. It's one of the things I miss not being able to travel right now is running into everybody, right? And just having those conversations in the hallway.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the last part of the show, if there's nothing on the calendar, free day, you know, what does Larry do to recharge? And what does that work-life integration look like to you?
Randy, find me the nearest golf course, man.
Okay, that's it.
Find me the nearest golf course. And when people hear this podcast, they'll fall out of their chairs laughing. They're school, you know, trying to figure out a way to get back to a golf course.
Yeah.
But it's for me that, but also I think, also, for me, spending time with my family for sure is important. I also like to volunteer in my community. I'm also the chairman of our planning commission in my city in O'Fallon, Illinois.
All right.
So I try to give back there as well. So
keep him busy.
So an off day, one of those things, yeah.
How are you finding the time to get on the golf course with all that? Jeez. The last part of the show, I want to be respectful of your time. These are the rapid fire questions. The questions are rapid. Your answers don't have to be. So what were you like in high school? You mentioned going into the military, but what were you like in high school? And do you remember the first time you got into any memorable trouble?
I don't remember anything back that far long ago. And you're talking about high school? Really?
Talking about
man, that was like, I don't know how long ago, but if you ask a question, I just remember me being just kind of boring, really.
Okay.
Memorable trouble. I don't know if it was high, it may have been high school, but some of my buddies and I, somehow we came upon a cigarette or two, and we decided that we would go somewhere and hide and try to smoke these things.
Yeah.
And, I got so sick that I to this day, I've never picked up another cigarette.
You're not touching one. You learned early, right?
Again. And also, I couldn't get in trouble much in high school anyway, because my high school principal just stayed right around the corner from
it. Oh, okay.
You know, so, it was just a short walk for him to just, you know, give a quick report to my parents, and I'm done, man.
You were done. That's tough when
staying around the corner. Terrible.
I asked this question when Jill was on the show, and her dad was the vice principal in charge of discipline at their school. So she didn't have the ability to get into trouble either. So
opportunity was not there.
Yeah, no. So most of us stumbled into a career in credit unions in one way or another. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, yeah, I also stumbled into credit unions. It was a great stumble.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, once we're here.
Yeah. But as I remember growing up as a kid, watching TV sometimes, you know, small black and white screen. I would see these guys, they'd have their suits on, and they'd go into the office, and they'd have this little thin briefcase. And I'm thinking, man, that looks, and they, you know, talk on the phone and do some things like that. Man, they do that and get paid, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm thinking that might be something good for me to try to be a businessman. I had no idea what that meant or what I would actually do with it. As a kid, that's what I wanted to do. So I don't actually have that old school briefcase anymore.
Right.
I think the credit union business has made me the business person I was looking to be.
That you wanted to be? Oh, that is beautiful. I love it. Do you have any daily routines that you do that if you just don't do them, your day feels off?
You know, I have not been one to have a daily routine much.
Yeah.
For some reason. If something comes to mind on that day or that morning, hey, I'll do it.
So that's what you jump up and do, right? Yep.
Yeah, whatever that might be. So I like that part of it and not sticking to a routine per se. Obviously, there are certain things we do every day, the same thing, but just a sequence of things that I have to do, you know, not really. Sometimes, people have to have their coffee before they do anything else. That's the routine. For me, I'm not a big hot coffee drinker. For me, if I'm drinking coffee, it's cold and I'm drinking it through a straw.
Yeah, right. And later in the day, probably. So.
Yeah.
The random question. What's the best album of all time? That one you can still listen to front to back without skipping a song.
Oh, geez. Man, Randy, that's a slam. That's a slam dunk, man. Oh. 1977, Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life.
Songs in the Key of Life. I was born and raised in Metro Detroit, so I am a Motown guy. And
every song on the vinyl.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what a vinyl is, it's a black, round, hole in the middle.
Yep. Yeah. I just saw an article that it was the first year since who knows when that vinyl sold more than CDs. So it's vinyl's coming back. Or is back, I guess.
Yeah. People do still play their vinyls these days. For
that,
sure.
That is a great choice.
That would be 33, I think, as I recall.
I'm a reader. Jill and I have a stack of books around the house. Many have been recommended to people that have been on the podcast. They keep piling up. Do you have any books that you've either gifted or you recommended often over the years?
You know, when I do read, I like autobiographies.
Okay, yeah.
So, Gerald Colin Powell, excellent autobiography. Jackie Robinson, Nelson Mandela. So I like learning about, reading about people and their lives and their experiences, for sure. Now, more business-related books. Growing up in the industry, I really liked reading several of the Stephen Covey books, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, or You Are What You Were Then. You know, books like that, Ken Blanchard books on leadership and process improvement, things like that. Those are the types of books I most enjoyed reading and would recommend to other people.
Yep, absolutely. Those are some good ones, that's for sure. I have not read the Colin Powell biography. I'm going to have to pick that up. I'm a biography guy myself. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I've really gotten into listening to biographies on Audible, like going for walks and just having that in my ears. So, you know, it's...
I think it's really inspirational to read how others negotiated life and experiences and to see where I can apply those into my life.
So, next question. As you've gotten older, what's become more important to you? And has anything become less important?
Yeah. Less important would be that, you know, people put a lot of, and it's a good thing. It's not like it's a bad thing. How can you be successful in life and trying to just stay on maybe one road to success? But what I've learned and appreciated throughout my life and career is that there are many pathways to success, and that setbacks are pathways to greater things and greater opportunities. So, I've learned to continue to persevere, but persevere with more patience.
Ah, well, I like that line. I like that a lot. I might be coming up with the title of the show from that. That's a good line.
Yeah, I love that. So it takes getting older and going through experiences to get to that point. So I understand the desire to do well, and it's great.
Yep.
But it's not going to always be, just be a smooth roll with no hills or no boulders.
Yeah, absolutely. In our way, right?
So, blocking our pathway. So, sure.
There's a question that I didn't send you. When you hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind?
My grandfather, who adopted me when I was a small child.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
After he and his wife had already raised 10 children of their own.
Holy smokes. And then they had another young one in the house, eh?
Yeah, my brother and me. So, yeah. So, and for what he did in his life, obviously, growing up and as a young person, as an adult, and facing all types of racism and discrimination, and still persevering and taking care of his family and working all of his life and experiencing, thankfully, some great later years in his life. So to me, all I have to do is look and point and think about him. And for me, that success is not about how much money you make. It's what you do with what you have and the time that you have.
I absolutely love that answer, Larry. I think it's a great way for us to start wrapping up this show. But before we go, I really do thank you for taking the time today and sharing your story. My last question, do you have any final asks of our listeners or final thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah, I would just ask all of our listeners, I'm sure this podcast will maybe go long and broad, but you know, from a credit union perspective, from the times in which we are in now, is to just be respectful of others. Try to put yourself in another person's position. Understand and appreciate what we all go through in this life. Remember that we are all here for a reason. We can all contribute towards the greater good in our country and in our society, in our world, for sure. I appreciate what the ACUC is doing. And I said I would give a thank you to some of our sponsors and partners. So I want to do that now. And I want to thank them for helping us as we go through this ACUC journey. And that would be MUQ Credit Union of Baltimore, Michigan State Federal Credit Union, University Federal Credit Union, Schools First, CQ, State Employees, PSCU, all of those. My Credit Union, Together Credit Union, CUNA Mutual Group, Visa, all of NAPCUN, all of those who have helped us along the way. And I apologize if I didn't get them all, but I know we're coming short of time.
We will link to that in the show notes, plus everything else that we talked about, so people can see everybody yeah. that is supporting and how you can support, because it is a fantastic organization. I hope more and more people get involved in more organizations. If people have more questions of you personally, best way to get a hold of you, LinkedIn, Twitter, email, what's your poison, I guess?
My most used social media platform is LinkedIn, but also you can use lsewell@togethercu.org or lsewell@aacuc.org.
We will link to all of those as well. Thank you so much again, Larry, for being on the show. Please stay well, my friend, and I hope you have an amazing day.
All right. Thank you very much for the time.
Before we go, I would just like to give a big thank you to all of you for listening. We wouldn't be able to have this much fun doing what we do without you. Once again, thank you to Larry for taking time out of his busy schedule to share his experiences with all of us. And a huge thank you to our sponsor, Trellance. Our friends at Trellance have been a longtime partner and supporter of ours. So please make sure to click on their link in the show notes and give them some love. See how they are transforming data into actionable insights for credit unions from coast to coast. One last thing before we go. Don't forget about the CU Insight Experience podcast book list. Need some stimulation for the old mind? We've got you covered. Get your next book recommendations from the guests on our show. Thank you all again for listening. Have a great day and stay well, friends.